Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trek. I am your host, Matt, and today we are joined by, as I always call her, Lady Sarah. Sarah, how are we doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. This is kind of cool. I asked you if you were planning on watching the live action version of Cowboy Bebop, and you're like, sure, I'll check it out. And so you did, with no knowledge of the anime. So it's kind of interesting because I've seen the anime. You have not, so I think it's going to be cool to get your perspective on it, because the internet seems quite mixed on how they feel about this.
And I could see that. I think when I first kind of like was looking into it to see like who was cast in it and stuff, I do remember like some people getting upset about what's her name? Her name's Danielle. She's the one that
Danielle Pineda. Yeah.
She plays Faye, and like I kind of have like a little bit of a girl crush on her. She was in Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom, and I was just like, she's kind of just like a huge standout. Like, she was super funny. And then yeah, when you suggested it, I started, you know, tinkering around, and I was like, she's in it, obviously John's in it, but like I really don't know a whole lot of the other people. Like, I don't know who the guy is that plays Vicious. You know what I mean? So, like, it was nice to know a little bit, but not, like, too much going into the actual show itself.
Yeah, John Cho, I mean, he's obviously the standout sort of star of this. He's, he's been in tons of stuff. I mean, Harold and Kumar, he's much more of a comedic actor. And I was actually looking at some interviews where he's saying, this is kind of interesting because he gets to do something a little more physical, which is cool. But I loved him in it. I guess I'm in the camp where I loved this show. I know sort of the internet has a little bit of pushback on it. But he's in like Harold and Kumar, you know, go to White Castle. And like
he did a little bit of fencing in Star Trek. He did have one fight.
He's Sulu. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's Sulu. Yeah, so I mean, he's in big stuff. I guess Harold and Kumar is the first thing I think of when I think of him. But yeah, he's definitely been in more. He was in some show with Karen Gilligan from Doctor Who and Jumanji.
Yeah, Nebula. I was going to say Gamora. Nebula.
Yeah, and I think it only lasted one season. Let me look that up. What was the name of that show? But.
Sounds familiar. Like I'm having like a flashback.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll find it. But nonetheless, yeah, he was in some show with her. But ultimately, here we get him in Netflix's live action anime version of Cowboy Bebop. And Netflix is doing this. They're going like kind of hardcore into animation. They're taking a lot of, I don't know, they're diving deep into like video games and stuff like that to sort of do these anime adaptations. Most live action anime adaptations have been absolutely awful, to say the least.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
Like the live action Avatar, The Last Airbender, and God, Dragon Ball. Oh my God, that was like the single worst movie ever to be entirely honest. But so I think go ahead.
I said, is Detective Pikachu in that category?
No, I'd say that's more in the video game.
Okay.
The video game category. But yeah, Detective Pikachu I think was okay. I think the Sonic movie, highest grossing movie of 2020.
Right.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I mean.
Right. Right. Was okay. But I think I thought this was great. And I will dive into it a little bit here. So I guess so you had no knowledge of any of this going into it. So like what did you think, like start to finish with no knowledge of the backstory whatsoever?
I think the first thing that I picked up on that like really like pulled me in was the music, and you had mentioned to me that it was the same person who did the anime. So little things like that, I'm really into like little touches, little subtle touches like that. And so, you know, that first opening episode, I think it's like they're in like a space casino or something like that. And like, if I didn't know that it was an anime or like that there was a certain style to it, it might've been a little too funky for me. But like, no, I really appreciated how the fighting looked, how, the colors were used in it, all the different side characters. I don't know if you've ever seen Twin Peaks before, but like, it's a really ethereal, weird kind of show. It was David Lynch's like show that he had for quite a few years. And like, I was just getting these kind of like, just weird in a really, really good quality way. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. And Yoko Kanno is the composer's name, and she did the original. And James or John Cho even said, quote here saying that, like, I made sure that she was locked in before saying yes. I didn't think the show should go forward without her involvement. So, yeah, pretty sweet. And let me just because I'm doing this on I can do this here. So if you look at this is what I like about the series is that the connection between. Okay. So, and this will, I guess, dive into some of this, a little bit of the criticism. So some of the criticisms of the show say that it's too departed from the original. Which does sometimes happen in live action versions. Sometimes they just go in their own direction and like, just, we're going to do our own thing. Like, go watch the Super Mario Brothers movie. It is like nothing at all. like the games, granted that is the 80s and you can view that in different ways. But then you look at something like, to me, like the Power Rangers movie, not the like original Power Rangers movie that came out when the show was on, the one a few years ago with Elizabeth Banks in it. Like that movie, I remember seeing the trailers for and thinking it's going to be absolutely god awful. Like, and then I watched it and they just said, look, we know what we are and we're just going to go for it. And I thought it was great. They even said like, it's Morphin time. They played Go Go Power Rangers. Like, it was great. It wasn't a great movie, but it was a great experience. And that's kind of like what I feel this did. Yeah. Is that they are like, we're going to pay as much homage as we possibly can. So, just look, like, even looking side by side at Tank, which is the song, the opening song, like the opening song compared to the opening of the anime, it's like almost, they do like a frame by frame live action.
Those opening credits are like stunning. Like, there was like two episodes I had to like just get to the episode and skip through the credits, and I was like, I don't want to do this. This intro is just like, it's just so good.
Yeah, it's so cool, and it's like frame by frame, such a great sort of recreation, as well as a like paying homage to it. Like things at the end when it says like, "See you later, Space Cowboy." Like that's very much something. Obviously, the music is a tie-in. I even think the costuming, like some people say, "Oh, it looks a little too cosplayery," but I think like the world they crafted looks unique. It looks kind of like the anime. There were definitely some characters that, you know, like looked a little sort of different. I would say like Vicious to me was the one that is, if you were to sort of see Vicious in the show compared to Vicious in the live action, the original versus live action, I should say, he's definitely like more brutal in the anime than he is in the live action version. So I think that was a sort of a departure for everybody, but I still feel like they did great.
I thought it was really cool when they revealed that his father was Boromir's father from Lord of the Rings. It took me about,
Yes.
I've seen him in something before. And yeah, I was like, yeah, he would be a crappy father. Like he does the crappy father role pretty well. So yeah, I was like,
yeah, that was. Yeah, that was an interesting cast. Because he was not somebody who I was not somebody who I was expecting to be in this. But Faye, I think she was one who people were sort of, some people really appreciating the way that they changed her. Other people were sort of upset. I liked her costume in this. I liked that she still wore the yellow. I didn't feel like she necessarily needed to wear like the anime, like rubber, you know, top and bottom.
There's only so much like your, a human body can do, you know, in
right.
terms of like, and, you know, going from an anime built figure to a, you know, she looked like she's probably 5'2" maybe at the most,
right.
Danielle. So, and I think I do remember that, seeing that kind of Twitter stuff, like some of the fanboys were a little bit upset that like, yeah, that the costume wasn't like quite there. But again, you got to be functional when you're moving around as a human being. So yeah, I, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. So, okay. So again, I've seen the anime. There was definitely a lot of scenes that they pull. I mean, a lot of it is pulled straight from it. The ending is definitely a like big departure, like huge departure.
Okay.
From the anime, like that's by far the biggest change, because I guess some kind of spoiler here for you, because you haven't seen the anime yet. But the biggest change is that in the anime, they still have the fight, same place and everything, but it's sort of left open to the idea that Spike dies. It's like,
okay.
That's, it just kind of,
okay.
So it ends after their fight. You just sort of see him like, he's like super injured, and it's just sort of left. It's completely left open to the viewer as to whether he lives or he dies.
Interesting. And I have a question. Is the Julia stuff kind of the same? Like, was she, mm-hmm. she was like, okay. Cause that kind of reminded me of sort of when,
yeah, she does not like, she does not like survive and then go on to like run the,
okay.
Thing.
Okay. Then that makes total sense. It was giving me a Kira vibes from the Solo movie when she's like, I'm Crimson Dawn now. Like I'm the person you talk to. So that was pretty interesting. You know, she's out for power. I don't blame her. I guess. But yeah, no, it was pretty interesting. And I don't know, John Cho. He just he did this such a good job at carrying that kind of nonchalant, but like that loyal, almost kind of, you know, again, not to compare it to Star Wars, but almost a sort of Harrison Ford, Poe Dameron kind of like, you know, tough guy kind of exterior, but you could tell there's some mushiness inside. And I thought it was super interesting in the episode where you see, Vicious and him, like when they used to be partners, you know, like kind of mm-hmm. side by side. And then you can totally tell that, like, you know, Vicious is definitely going to be going in one direction, and that, you know, Spike's not going to be able to maintain, or Fearless isn't going to be able to maintain this partnership with him. It was really interesting when, rather than killing Vicious, he went off and took care of that Neptune crew instead, or
right.
that other gang. And I just thought that was really interesting. That just kind of shows a loyalty there. I don't know. I wonder if he has the same kind of loyalty at this point for, what's his friend, Jet? Or
Jet.
If he's still
right.
kind of, if he's got like a wall up, you know what I mean? If he's going to be able to break that down so that they could like be partners again. I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting play.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting, because where they leave it is completely uncharted territory. So they can now they can now go in any direction they want with this, which is which is cool because for a TV show, I don't think you're going to do just sort of like a lot of animes are like 26 episodes and like, that's it. There are sort of like a one shot 26 episode run, you know, typically based off like a manga. And that's sort of it. That's just sort of how it goes. And that's kind of cool. So in the anime, there's 26 episodes of the anime, and then there is a movie which would fit in, like, I forget exactly where it fits in, but it's basically like another episode would fit in around like, you know, episode like 14 or something like that. Yeah, I mean, so that's sort of it. So now it's like uncharted territory. There's still a lot of stuff they can go back and do. There's still a lot of sort of bounties that they go through in the anime that you could still go back and do. I don't know how you're gonna. I mean, like Vicious is still alive, so you can still have a fight between Spike and Vicious at the end of season two, if it gets a season two, which is.
Is it for sure yet or no?
No, not yet, which is unfortunate. I hope it gets a season two because, yeah, there were definitely for me even some like kind of cringy moments where I'm like, I don't know, you know, it's like this is kind of weird even. The big one is Ed, who shows up at the very, very end. The guy with
the red hair.
No, the very end. Goggles. Okay. Yeah. So Ed is a character who is actually, it's a girl, but it's sort of like androgynous, like kind of, yeah, character, fan favorite, and is a big part of the anime. Okay. Hacker, just very comedic relief character. Like, is what Ed does in the live action is very much the character of Ed in the. Of Ed in the anime, very over the, like, extremely over the top. Very quirky, extremely over the top. Everyone was using the word cringe on Twitter. I will agree. Ed was definitely a little cringe there in that scene. But again, I think that's something you could improve upon in a season two if you were to give it. Because I guess I'm always in the camp where I'm willing to give any show two seasons.
Yeah, like, yes, definitely.
Even if season one is terrible, because a lot of shows go watch their season one, then go watch their season two, and the season two is always so much more polished, so much better. Like, even
more shows,
yeah, even shows that have had like gone on to be like some of the most successful shows of all time. I use The Office as a great example. Go watch The Office season one and watch The Office season two. There were like huge changes between season one and season two.
Parks and Rec too. I remember Parks and Rec was kind of similar. There were a few characters that, like, going back like to season one, I was like, these people were not in the show. And then as soon as season two rolls around, you're like, nope, they're gone. Bye.
Yep, they're gone. Yeah, that happens. That happens a lot. A lot of shows have characters who, The West Wing is one. There's a character in season one and she's gone. Come season two. So it's like, you know, that's it's always Sunny in Philadelphia. Danny DeVito's not even in season one.
Oh my god, he's not.
It was a season two change because they said, hey, that they think the show is good, but we need to bring somebody in. So like this for me, like, I feel is like a solid, I would give it like a 7 out of 10. And so it's like, that's for me definitely warrants a season two, where you can look at the feedback. You can improve things. It is kind of on its own. It's outside of its source material, but
I mean, they're lucky because they have a fan base, whether or not it's, you know, divided over the live action. I don't know. Like you said, what do they have to lose? I mean, money wise, I wonder how much season one cost. I mean, would they have to give them that much more money to do season two? God, did they film this during COVID or did they have it done before? Okay. Gosh.
We didn't even know like how much that's going to be like 2 to 3 years down the line before we really begin to see just how much COVID influenced things. It's kind of like going back and watching a lot of movies around that like 2008, 2009 period.
When there was the strike, like the recession, and there was the
writer's strike. And you're like, what's going on with some of these like shows or seasons? And it's like, the writer's strike really killed things.
Yeah, and that was like, so TV's kind of interesting. I don't know like how you feel about it, but like you just kind of like entered a core memory here. That was a time where like you get really invested in a show and then it just would kind of just cliff dive. It would literally and maybe some would be lucky enough to where they would kind of plateau a little bit and it was sort of just the same thing over and over. But like, I mean, there was True Blood. There was The Walking Dead. Luckily, that the show Breaking Bad was really good. That one wrapped up in time, but like the writer's strike affected it. And like TV, like has put me in a kind of like gun shy type of a like mentality in terms of like, well, I don't even want to watch a single episode unless like I at least know that, like you said, like is the first season okay? Like, is there a promise of a second one? You know, who's running the show? Is it a show that has like different writers and directors every episode, or is this somebody's baby that they're, you know, going to carry with them for several seasons? And like, we all went through it with Game of Thrones, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, you know, I just was like, well, man, if Matt says this show's pretty good, I'm going to try it. And my sister just got me to watch Penny Dreadful, which was a 3-season show on HBO, I think it was, or Showtime. With Ava Green, and it's really good, and it's the same guy who created it, who pretty much does all the episodes, and then, you know, just, like, wrapped it up. So, like, to kind of wrap up this rambling point here, it's so rare to find a show that you can get through the first episode, second episode, and kind of, like, you know, see, like, how it can come around, or even if it just stopped, like, there's still quality to it, rather than, like, it going off the rails like things do sometimes, like right. Have a huge chance of going through.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, a show that, and again, this is one of these things where it's really going to be really interesting to see how COVID has affected a lot of these shows too. So even if you're watching something and you're thinking, God, this is bad. Like some of the stuff we're even experiencing right now with like Wheel of Time, which is huge and awesome and out. It was so affected by COVID with just filming restrictions and all of these things. But a show I remember, at least with the writer's strike, was Heroes. Heroes, season one was like, I mean, it was
save the cheerleader, save the world.
It was this massive, massive show. I mean, it was, to me, it was kind of like the last show before like Game of Thrones that everybody was talking about being like, what's gonna water happen?
Cooler show. Yeah, water cooler.
And then season two hit and it just nosedived. I mean, it went from first to like last. Like, I mean, I don't know how it happened, but again, it's sometimes these outside things influence it. So I could see that being somewhat of the case here. With Cowboy Bebop, possibly, I have to definitely do a little sort of a deeper dive into it. But you know, I think they got so much of this show right that again, a season two, you could really fix things. I think the look, although I will say I did feel like there were some inconsistencies at times, like the fighting sometimes looks like really awesome. And at other times, it's, like, kind of slowed down a bit.
Yeah, a little too much. Slow. Like, a little bit to where it's, like, the choreography is, like, just...
Right. Like, the really knife bad. Fight that Faye has in episode one is, like, kind of slow, kind of weird. But then some of the fights later on are really, really cool, and they're really fast. So the choreography was a little inconsistent. Which I think is a word you could use to describe this show. Not again, I wouldn't say bad, but definitely there are some inconsistencies. Some episodes you're like, this is great, it's going really well, and then like the next episode might scale back a bit. But I do feel like the overall look, the vibe, everything fits that sort of. I don't even know how to describe. I don't want to say steampunk because it's not steampunk. It is that. It's the space. It's like the anime space Western. Because the interesting thing is when this show came, when the anime came to America, it appeared on Cartoon Network on Toonami, which was, I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
What was that? Was that like a special time for anime shows or something like that?
So it was, so they had kind of two things. They started out and they would do, I remember this. So it was like, I was in, because you're just a few years older than me. So I was in, I don't know, gosh, seventh, eighth grade, I think. So I think you probably would have been in high school when this was going on. So
when did it come out? What year did it come out again?
Cowboy Bebop came, I'd have to say, like early 2000s, late 90s.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, no, that makes sense. I went into high school 2001, fall 2000.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was so it was right around that time. So I remember I would come home from school and Cartoon Network was running. They called it Toonami, which is like, hey, we're bringing over animes. And it would be like Sailor Moon, Thunder. It would be like Thundercats, Sailor Moon. Then it would be like Dragon Ball Z. And then they started rotating shows. And it would be like, because they're so short. Remember, they did like Gundam Wing and some of these other ones. And then at night, late at night, they would run anime as well. And there was this run they had where like these three space western animes all sort of came over like one after the other or around the same time. And I highly encourage you to check out all three, especially the anime, because I know you are a fan of animation. So I do think you would appreciate it, man. I do think the dubbed versions are very well done, especially Cowboy Bebop. Cowboy Bebop to me is a top 10 anime of all time. Like I think if you go watch even just a few episodes, you're like, I'm plowing through the rest because it's so good. There's these other two. One is Trigun. And then this other one is Outlaw Star. And I highly recommend all three. And so to me, like they all sort of fit into this like same category, this space western bounty hunters, you know, but and like they're all broke, you know, don't have a lot of money, have to go hunt people, you're going to these different planets, but it's filmed like a western, which is cool. And that's what this has, and that's definitely the vibe it gives off, which I think is really cool. But then the big difference is that this has jazz to it, which just sort of sets the stage.
There was one part, I think this girl was getting ready to do like a dance or something, and they had like electric guitar going, but then the saxophone came in like at the same time. It was just like, yeah, like it's very pleasing. The music is very, very pleasing to the brain. Like it's like almost like a, it brings like a little bit of a nostalgia, but like for not any time that I can remember, like in my life, there's almost like a, when that jazzy music comes in and you get those wide shots, there's almost kind of like this 20s kind of speakeasy sort of underground kind of vibe to it that like, yeah, that really shines through. And I think,
And there's so much to like the color palette in some of the episodes. Episode 3, where they're fighting on top of the rooftop, it's just like this like gorgeous sort of blue and orange, like purple. There's a lot of purple in this show, which is like really cool. And it's just such an interesting color palette that it sets. And I do think they did a very good job. Even if it is somewhat of a departure from the source material, it being, you know, the manga and the anime, that it does a great job of just creating its own world. And it's definitely something that's unique. And I do feel like it works. And so I think with a season two, it could really, really improve and be something that everyone really likes.
Yeah, that their aesthetic foundation is completely set. So yeah, like you said, all it would be is a couple little polishes, a little more quality sets, you know, stuff like that. Like would be pretty
Yeah,
amazing.
there's Ed, and that's a little bit of the cringe.
Yeah, as soon as that kid popped up, I was like, here we go. We've got some
Here we
funkiness.
go.
We've got the funkiness coming back to the show.
Yeah, and so I definitely loved the look, loved the vibe. What'd you think about the pacing and like time spent with characters? Do you feel like everybody got a good time? What are your thoughts on that?
I think so. I think when you kind of hover around that, like just over 30 minutes to maybe capping off at like 50 minutes, I think that's a good pace. And with the 10 episodes, and then you give the last two an hour each, I thought that was really good. I kind of like forgot at some point that Jet and Spike, like, are partners and everything, but like I kind of forget that, like, they don't, Jet didn't really know the fearless aspect of Spike. And so when
Right.
I was watching it towards the end, I was like, oh shit, like I totally forgot about that. Like, that's gonna be really hard for Jet because obviously he's the more emotional, yeah, seemingly more emotional out of the two. And the fact that his daughter gets taken because he wasn't shared this, sinister past of
Right.
Spikes, it just, I thought that was done really well. And then, yeah, when they showed in the you when that I think the penultimate episode when you see
The
Vicious
backstory
and
episode, yeah.
yeah, that backstory episode, I just was like, yeah, so it felt good. It felt like you got, like you said, just enough outside characters for humor, funky quirkiness, whatever. But you had enough of like the main cast to really like, get to know them and like them. Like they were all very likable, especially what's the dog's name? Ein.
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 Yeah. Yeah, they definitely kind of went in a weird direction with Ayn, making him kind of like a robot. That's definitely different, but I was fine with it. I didn't, I don't know. Ayn's a dog.
I was like, I wasn't sure if he was like a clone dog. Is he still like hooked up to something? Like what?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, cool episode, but I think the episode I liked the most, and I'll have to look up the title of it, was the episode where where they're looking for all the bounties come in, and Faye and Spike are like arguing over like, hey, which one are we gonna get? And so at the end they kind of become friends. I do love that they did keep the Bounty Hunter TV show. That is something that's in the anime. It's hilarious. It obviously appears more in the anime, but I was glad they kept that.
I noticed that the two, because I watch everything with captions, or at least I try to. I'm just gonna grab my charger cord here for one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was it? My ADHD already kicked in. What were we just talking about?
Favorite episodes. And I was talking about the bounty hunters.
The two hosts of the Bounty Hunter show, the little cowboy, whatever, it reminded me of a little bit of when Beetlejuice in that movie was like doing his little advertisements, like, come on down, you've got, people, the living bugging you, his little advertisement. It kind of reminded me of like the campiness of that. But I noticed with the captions on that their names are Punch and Judy. Have you ever heard of the Punch and Judy dolls? Okay, like I think like Renaissance times, whatever, there used to be these two like puppets that like kind of like throughout like cinematic history you can kind of see in like random stories popping up. It's a guy puppet doll, girl puppet doll, and I think the story is like one of them ends up killing the other one, and it's weird little Punch and Judy story. But anyways, if you Google it, Punch and Judy are a set of these weird dolls that they would use in plays and stuff, and I just thought it was that was absolutely intentional that they made the host those, the girl and the
Right.
guy Punch and Judy. So I wonder what that symbolism is, but it was just
Right.
like I was like, wow. So it's like, yeah, I just like little, little things
Yeah.
like that kind of come out. I thought the part with the elders when Vicious came in and you think that he was he was shackled up, and then they did the Black Widow thing, and it wasn't. Right. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So the episode I was talking about, yeah, Dark Side Tango, which is episode 5, which is Jet's backstory. Again, that same thing in the anime as well. And then yeah, the part where Spike and Faye are like arguing over like, hey, which bounty we're gonna take. And then she talks, then he does the shower bath shower, which she had like said, and then he's like, what's a loofah, right? And it's like, yeah, so just so ridiculous.
I know. When she's like, what are you guys, raised by wolves? She's like, you take the shower, you take the bath, you take another shower, which like, that's actually a thing. I think I've done that quite a few times before. There's just like, I don't know. She's just, yeah. When she said that, I was like, I guess other people do that. It's wasteful, but you know, whatever. But like, yeah, that was just their dynamic, the three of them together, when she's just sort of like, well, can I get a ride? Like when she's trying to get her ship back, and then she takes Spike's little red ship up, and she's in the dress, and she's got the dot, like, I think they showed every time you go to the show on Netflix, it's her like winking, and she's right. Got like the dog with her. I thought that was done pretty well.
Yeah. I thought the CGI, I thought all the CGI was fine. It was never anything I was like, oh, this looks bad or awkward or anything.
No. Yeah. No better. It looked really good when she came in the church, when you think that like Jet and the daughter, little Kimmy and Jet and Spike are all going to get it. And like, she just zooms in. I thought that looked really cool. And after seeing Venom and Carnage, I really like a good church fight scene, if you will, that looked pretty good when she was shooting through the stained glass and stuff. That was pretty awesome looking.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up the budget for this. No, it's not said specifically, but the budget for Altered Carbon, so if you're trying to, I think it sort of does have a similar look and sort of vibe to that, was around $7 million per episode. I don't think that show did very well, if I remember right.
I don't think so. I remember like being like, oh, that seems like a cool concept. And I think I tried to watch the first episode, and again, I was like, not going to get invested.
It did get 2 seasons.
It did? Okay.
Right. It did get 2 seasons. So I think that there's potentially hope for this, that this could get 2 seasons. Because again, one of the reasons I want this show to do well, and I guess by well, I don't mean like it's going to be Stranger Things or The Witcher level for Netflix, but well, because, you know, it took a very long time, I would say, and I feel like we're finally there, where at least we're getting decent to sometimes okay to every once in a while good live action adaptation of video game properties.
Yep.
And one of the, I hope that this does well, because anime, you know, as it's like Marvel and DC are over there, just like, you know, Warner Brothers and Disney are over there just pumping comic books for every little penny they're worth. We already went through, you know, the Hasbro line of Transformer toys, getting movies, yep, and Ninja Turtles reboots and everything.
G.I. Joe. So,
right. But there is this enormous untapped market, really, of, you know, manga and anime, where you have just amazing, amazing stories. And now you have Netflix finding a lot of success with the international market, with like Squid Game and this new one, this like Headhunter, yeah, whatever, where we could finally start getting some pretty cool, pretty, you know, good budgeted. Cause yes, that was like, that was definitely the problem with the Dragon Ball movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I mean, it's like, it's bad, bad. I mean, it has, what's his name? He is in Smallville. He's more known from Buffy. Is he Slayer in Buffy?
Oh, is he the guy that plays James, David Boreanaz?
No, is it like James? I gotta.
Am I drawing a blank?
I'll know it here in a second. I think it's James something. What is his name? Marston, I want to say. James Marsters.
Oh, okay. I was going to say James, yeah. Marston. You mean the guy from X-Men? No. Okay.
Yeah, James Marsters. Okay. So okay. He's in the Dragon Ball movie, and he plays Piccolo, and it's bad. I mean, but he actually, I did a okay job, but the budget and is just like so absolutely terrible. So, you know, anime and stuff like that has just never really been given the opportunity, I would say, to have decent live action adaptations. And so I feel like comparatively this is like one of the best live action adaptations, because this is good. I mean, this is good. Oh, yeah, decent.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I loved it, but I'm willing to at least see people's criticisms of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never want to go into it blind, you know, worship something too blindly. But yeah, no, I mean, it's a really good example of of it can be done, you know, just with a decent director. You already have the story, so you know what I mean. Find somebody to adapt it, and you know, if they pay attention to Twitter and social media spaces, they can find the people who they need to cast for it pretty easily. You know what I mean? Just like let everybody else do all the hard work. You know what I mean? Just build some epic sets, get a good graphic team, and you're good to go. Like it really, yeah. Like you said, it really wouldn't be too much sweat off of any movie studio's back, especially like Netflix. So, and my littlest, we just noticed, they're both into Godzilla, but, Netflix has kind of I don't think it's anime, but they have a 3-movie animated Godzilla thing. And I think it might be Japanese or something. But he watched all 3 of them. So it's like, you know, in terms of animation, you can go back, you know, there, right. The technology's there to go back and forth. You can make a live action, do another spin-off animation, and just go back and forth and back and forth. Like it's feasible.
Yeah. Yeah. They just did a anime sort of standalone movie, The Witcher. Nightmare of the Wolf, yeah, which was okay. It's fantastic. It's amazing. It was so good. I loved every second of that. They did Castlevania, which is a big video game series. They did I think they did 3 or 4 seasons of that, and which is sort of a dormant video game franchise, but it's certainly a long-standing beloved video game franchise that the anime was great. And they have other ones coming down the pipe. This great video game series, which I've talked about at length, Shenmue, is getting an anime series. And to be honest, that's something that I'm really looking forward to, because it kind of has this troubled past where at one point it was like, to make an incredibly long story short, it was this game that came out and it was the most expensive video game ever made. And it kind of flopped. But it's like so good, and people who've played it absolutely love it. And then you got a second game, and there was this incredibly long period in which everyone was waiting for the third game. I mean, like nobody ever thought it would ever even happen, but because video games cost so much money to make, you know, we're like, is this story ever going to get told? Will this story, which is a good story that everyone's into, ever going to get finished and told? And so here's Netflix stepping in saying, hey, yeah, we'll do an anime adaptation of it, because you can, with anime and animation, you know, you can just do so much.
Yeah.
You don't need, you know, $200 million to have, you know, special effects and CGI and all this stuff. You just do it for what it is. Will it trend as well as something in live action? Maybe not, but that's where shows like Cowboy Bebop come in. And I think it could open the door, which is why I want the show to have a second season and be somewhat successful, because it could open the door to so much more, like a floodgate of great stories that are just begging for like a live action version.
The gateway drug to anime, to more.
Yes, anime. Absolutely.
And no, that's all like I ever hope to see is like more stories get a chance to be told in a really, you know, in a quality professional way rather than, you know, flim flammy, slap it together, try to get it out as fast as possible. So hopefully maybe that's like the direction they'll be going in with some of this stuff rather than being like, you know, oh, hey, here's some popular piece of, you know, content or whatever. And let's just, you know, try to huck it out there as fast as possible. I think if people just take time and, yeah, again, analyze the audience of the story, you're good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, well, I think we'll just do some closing thoughts here on just sort of what we thought about the Cowboy Bebop live action show, and maybe what score do you think you'd give it?
I would definitely probably 7.5 out of 10. It's been a long time since I've gone through like a whole season of like a brand new show, so the fact that like my attention maintained through it, and like you said, you know, the there's a likability to the characters, it looks fun, it feels fun, it's not that hard to like kind of daydream and imagine yourself in this world, you know what I mean? Like you brought up, the world building in it was amazing. I think if that was a little more shaky, it probably would have been harder to get through, but it's an incredible feat, and I think they pretty much stuck the landing of what they were going for.
Yeah, yeah. I think I would agree. I'm right around that seven out of 10 mark. Even though I would give it a 7 out of 10, I still absolutely loved it. And I'm probably actually going to watch it again. I actually just restarted the anime just because I wanted to go back and watch it. And again, I think so much of it for me and some of the reasons that I did really enjoy this was just attention to detail. The fact that they say like the tiny little things like "see you space cowboy" at the very end, like the very end, because that's at the end of every episode. Tank, which is the opening song, being there. They definitely brought a lot of what made the anime special into the show. They did some things that changed it up a little bit, but I think opened it up for it to be more than one season. Could potentially now be 6 seasons if it does really well, if given the opportunity. I will say, so I was like losing my mind because when we started and we got the opening song, and I'm like, wow, this is great. But the closing song for episode 1 is just like, I don't know what it is, but it was not the song "The Real Folk Blues," which is the song that plays at the end of every episode of the anime. So then at the end of episode 3, which I think was the episode, was it episode 3? Yes. So episode 3 was the one where, this is where I was like, I'm in, was at the end when Spike gets the sniper rifle and he locates Vicious. Yep, and he like calls him to let him know he's still alive, and then shoots the car, even though I think, you know, he knows it has bulletproof glass, and it just cuts him across the face.
Yep.
And then I heard literally the first line, like the first drum beat of the closing song, and I was like, okay, I'm in, I'm good, I'm here. And I literally plowed through the rest.
Yeah, no, they did a really good job with that. And just like, yeah, knowing that those two had their history, where like in my mind, you know, from what I thought, it looked like, dang, you know, Vicious came and just stole his girl, shot him and left him for dead, and stole this pretty blonde lady, and she's just been stuck with this asshole ever since, or I'm sorry, a-hole ever since. Then, you know, that was another thing I really enjoyed. There was really good plot twists, really good turns. And then when the end, you see like, oh no, like she was kind of dating Vicious first. And then, you know, he's the bad guy, and he's the good friend, and he's, you know what I mean? And it just was so well done. It was well-crafted storytelling there in the end when it came to that stuff. Like, it was good.
Yeah, Yeah, I loved it. I recommend it. I think you would I think you would like the anime. I think you would if you enjoyed this and knowing, you know, just your sort of history, you know, with Star Wars, like Rebels and everything like that, I do think you would check it. And it is on Netflix. The anime
Oh,
is
good. Okay.
it is yeah, if you type in Cowboy Bebop, they both come up. So it is there. And there's a lot more anime on Netflix, but I think that's like that's a great place to jump. Cowboy Bebop is a great place to just jump into anime in the first place. So awesome. Well, hey, Lady Sarah, thank you for coming on. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, the one place on social media that you will find me is on Twitter, and that's at Sarah Palpatine for all your Star Wars content and funness, pretty much there. And then I've got the two podcasts, Curiosity Killed the Cat and Hello There, which is like Matt mentioned, all about Star Wars animation. So, which Matt, I will be having Matt on shortly.
Hey, absolutely. And I've been on Curiosity Kills the Cat many times,
Yes.
talking. It seems like you and I always end up talking Warner Brothers properties, which is great. And we're probably gonna have to do, I mean, if I'm just gonna sort of invite myself on.
Please
I mean,
do.
I just saw the trailer. I haven't really been paying close attention other than just knowing it's coming out. Just saw the trailer for the new Matrix movie, and it looks awesome.
Dude, it looks so good. And yes, we'll talk about it because I just watched The Matrix like 2 days in a row and watched like the first half and then the second half. And then I started I haven't really seen the other two yet. Like I've seen the second one a little bit, but like I don't think all the way through. So
Yeah, the second and third one get like
rough.
really com No, they're good
Okay.
movies. It's just complex. Like
Okay.
the first movie you watch, you're like, wow, this is crazy. The second movie you watch and you're like, wait, like what's kind of going on here? And then the third movie you're watching, like, I have literally no clue what's going on here, but this was awesome. I mean, it's out of there. So I'm excited to see the fourth one. And then there is a animate, it's called The Animatrix.
Oh,
And it's
yeah,
a
okay.
little sort of like short movie thing, and it kind of like explains some of the stuff.
Okay.
It's been an incredibly long time since I've seen it to really understand, like to remember like what it sort of explains and stuff like that. But if you're like gonna dive super deep into it, but yeah, I mean, everyone's super hyped about Spider-Man, and rightfully so, because that's gonna be amazing. No pun intended.
Yes.
But it's like, man, I saw that trailer for The Matrix and I was just like, oh yeah, wow. And let's not sleep on this, because
No,
this looks
no. And
awesome.
again,
Yeah.
go back to quality and
Oh
professionalism,
yeah.
and it's just like taking care of your set and your people. Like you it just I've been looking up some behind the scenes stuff of the first and first Matrix, and just it just looks like the directors very much know what they're doing and how they
Oh
want to
yeah.
do it. And so, yeah, I'm jacked. We will definitely put that one on the books for sure.
Awesome. 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 All right. Well, you can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros. As again, appreciate you, Lady Sarah. Thank you for coming on. And thank you guys, as always, for listening. まだ心の